Thank you for listening to the Resting Place Church podcast. Our dream is that your heart would find rest as we learn to practice the ways of Jesus faithfully. So we hope this message both blesses and encourages you.
It's so good to see you, Resting Place. I'm really excited about this, excited to get you guys kicked off on this new series. One more thing, it's good to see Phil and Kathy Biddy this morning. Amen. I love them so much. They were a part of High Praise in PC, where we are now for a long time. How long were y'all in PC? 15 years, and they spent, what, about 2 years with us in Orlando? And I used to tell people all the time, and I stand by this. I told Pastor Cole this. Whenever Phil and Kathy started coming here, I said, if you can get a church full of people like Phil and Kathy, you can do anything. They're absolutely incredible people, and y'all are absolutely blessed and honored to have them. It's good to see you guys. We love y'all so much. But Pastor Cole asked me to kick off this series for y'all on You're Safe Here, and he specifically asked me to talk about the prophetic, to talk about hearing from God. I want you to grab your Bibles, grab your phone, whatever it is you use, go to 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to get there in a minute, but as we kind of get going into this message, into this series, I want to start off just by saying just some things that I was sensing on my drive up here and in preparation, and that is this. One, I believe this is called to be more than just a great church. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It is a great church. It's called to be a great church, and that's wonderful. But honestly, hear the way I say this. These days, to some extent, great churches are a dime a dozen. People that know how to do all the systems and work it and make it happen and integrate people and give you a good word, it's easy in one sense to find those places. It's a little more difficult to find home, but it's easy to find people who know how to work systems. And this church is called to be more than just a church that knows how to work a system, make people feel something, give you an emotional feeling. It's called to be much more than that. It's called to be more than just a great church. I believe it is called to be a great church. It already is a great church. But I fully believe that there is something on this church or something on your leaders, and there is an anointing on their lives. And by the way, if there's an anointing on their lives for this, it means that there is an anointing for the church to operate in this as well. Because whatever anointings, whatever callings and giftings are on your leaders is in something the church as a whole is going to operate in and should operate in. And I believe that this church is called to not just be an echo of what everybody else is saying at any given time, but I believe that this church is called to be a prophetic voice in this region and in this area. Can somebody say amen this morning? Now, don't freak out whenever we use that term, prophetic voice or prophecy or prophetic, because I am fully aware, believe me, that over the last 5 or 10 years, there has been all sorts of craziness done in the name of the prophetic. And I'm going to get there in a minute, but just to let you know up front, all the stuff that has, let me back up, a lot of things that have been done over the past 5 or 10 years that people have called prophetic has not been prophetic at all. It has been people taking their desires, their wills, their weirdness, and trying to make it God's. I'm just going to say up front, because, listen, I've grown up around the prophetic movement and in prophetic circles and in charismatic Pentecostal churches, and I think we have this, can have this tendency that the more weird it is, the more prophetic we want to say it is. Some things, just because something's weird doesn't mean it's prophetic. Sometimes weird stuff is just weird. Let me be real. Sometimes people just have problems that then comes out of them in their brokenness, in their issues. And what we have wanted to do, instead of going, hey, you need to get healed of this, is went, well, they're just prophetic. No, they're not. They're broken. They got problems. And they need to get healed. And they need to learn how to operate properly and not give God a bad name by taking their brokenness and attaching, thus saith the Lord, to it. So we're going to sort some of that out today. And I want you, are y'all good? Is this okay? All right, it's going to get worse. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. I want to read this morning. It says this, pursue love and strive for spiritual gifts. Just pause there for a second. We haven't even finished the verse, and I'm already, verse 1, we're already stopping. Pursue love, and strive or desire spiritual gifts. If you want gifts, if you want the gifts of the Spirit, but you don't first pursue love, your operation of the gifts will end up in error. Because your highest pursuit should always be love. So whenever we talk about the prophetic or we talk about prophecy, if you are not first pursuing love, but you are pursuing the prophetic before you are pursuing love, you will end up hurting people. Pursue love and strive for spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. For those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people but to God, for nobody understands them, since they are speaking mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, those who prophesy speak to other people for their upbuilding, their encouragement, and consolation. A lot of translations say exhortation, edification, and comfort. Those who speak in a tongue build up themselves, or those who prophesy build up the church. Now, I would like all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. Let that settle in for a moment. One who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Now jump down to verse 39 that says this, so my friends, be eager to prophesy. Some translations say covet to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done. How? Decently and in order. So Paul's writing here, let me back up. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14 are two of the most iconic passages in all of the New Testament about spiritual gifts, which we believe in the spiritual gifts. Amen? How many believe in the gifts of the Spirit? How many believe God is still speaking today? Believe God has something to say to you. You know why God has something to say to you? Because our God is a personal God. God is not deaf. He is not absent from hearing your cries and your requests. God is not blind. He sees exactly what you're going through. And God is not a mute. He is still speaking today. In spite of what some people may have said to you, that whenever the Bible was canonized or whenever this might have happened or that might have happened, that when the apostles died, that God suddenly stopped speaking, I just simply don't believe that's true. And I don't want to get deeply theological into why I believe that, but let's just suffice to say, I don't believe that is true. I believe God is still speaking to his people today. God is still speaking to his people today. As a matter of fact, it is the archetype that God speaks to his people. In Genesis, when we have the story of Adam and Eve, God walks and he communes with them in the garden. God talks to them. That is the archetype. The archetype is simply this. God wants to have relationship with his people, and he wants to speak to his people, which means God wants to speak to you. And not only does he want to, but he can, and you can hear him. Yes. And by the way, you don't have to be a pastor or a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher, an apostle, for God to speak to you. God can speak to anyone, but he certainly should be speaking to you if you are a believer. On the day of Pentecost, Peter references Joel 2. I'm going to give you a lot of information today, so y'all just hang with me. On the day of Pentecost, Peter references Joel chapter 2. In Joel 2, he says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, they shall do what? Prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. At the dawning of what we have traditionally called the church age, Peter could have referenced a lot of scripture from the Old Testament. A whole lot of it. And the thing that under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he begins to preach, one of the things he begins to preach is that God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That means this, that the prophetic is still for us today, that God wants to speak through you. And let me just say this, God wants to speak through your children. Of course, we see here in Paul, Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 tells us to covet to prophesy or earnestly desire to prophesy. It is the only place, to my knowledge, and I've read the Bible a few times, in all of Scripture, where anyone ever says you need to covet this in a positive manner. You need to covet to prophesy. The prophetic ministry is important. God still wants the revelation of His will to be vocalized. And He's established the prophetic ministry, the gift of prophecy, prophets as a voice of revelation and illumination, both corporately for the church and in the lives of its individual members. Now, what is the prophetic? It really is simply this. It illuminates the word and the will of God. I want to make one thing really, really clear. Prophetic ministry will never add to or take away from Scripture, right? So God's not going to come to you and say, hey, I know Scripture says this, but I'm telling you something totally different. Let me give you an example. I had a guy come to us one time. He said, hey, I was praying the other day, and God told me I need to divorce my wife. He said, no, He didn't. God did not tell you that. Well, thank you for that overwhelming response this morning. God is not going to come to you and say, hey, you know your spouse that y'all are serving God together, that you're married to, there hasn't been any biblical reason for divorce. The Lord says it's time, there's greener pastures for you. And of course, come to find out later, this guy had his eyes on another lady and was trying to use, God told me to justify the lust of his flesh. Let me just say this. Before I say this, let me say this. I believe God is merciful. I believe He is just. I believe He is long-suffering. I don't ever want to test God by putting, thus saith the Lord, on something that is my desire. I'm just going to stay as merciful as God is. I'm just going to stay as far away from that one as possible, because I know how I get upset whenever somebody says I said something that I didn't say. Y'all with me? Don't add to or take away from Scriptures. Let me say this. Prophetic ministry or prophetic word is not a substitute for hearing from God for yourself. It is not something that you just go to every day because you need to know whether or not you need to go to work. Thus saith the Lord, yes. You have your word. You need to get up and go to work in the morning. You don't need a word from God on whether or not you need to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. Thus saith the Lord, yes. Right? You don't need a word on if you need to might take your wife out on a date on Friday night. Thus saith the Lord, yes. Right? There's some, you don't need a word for every little thing that you do. Right? You, first of all, just use some common sense. And amen. But secondly, you can hear from God from yourself also when things are important. Or, once again, just use common sense. We had a lady come up to us one time. This is a true story. She came up to me one time at church. She said, I need a word. I said, okay. She goes, there's a boy that asked my daughter out to go to prom. And I need to know if God says it's okay or not. And I said, well, I'm not going to give you a word on that because that's silly. Do you know the boy? No. Do you know his parents? No. Do you know anything about the kid? No. Well, thus saith the Lord, go get to know the kid and then decide if that's a good idea or not. You don't need a prophetic word for everything. You don't, well, I'll keep going. I could be there all day telling you stories of people and things that Pastor Cole probably has some too. And it's like, thus saith the Lord, use your brain. All right. Prophetic ministry is not a substitute for hearing from God for yourself. You can hear from God. You need to hear from God. God is still speaking to you. And by the way, if the voice of God in your life always sounds angry, that's probably not the voice of God. If it's accusatory, that's probably not the voice of God. If it's condemning of you constantly, that's probably not the voice of God. And by the way, I'm not talking about a voice of conviction, because God does speak to our hearts and convict us. But He does not condemn us. And there is a difference. Prophetic ministry will come as confirmation of things that God is already speaking to you in your own life. I'll talk about that more a little bit later, but God is always speaking into our lives. He's always whispering into the spirit of every believer. And let me just say this. Every word you receive needs to be confirmed and witnessed. Don't do anything dumb because you got some one wild word from prophet, Facebook prophet so-and-so who sent you a message along with a giving link. Y'all know what I'm talking about. First of all, let me just say this. If you have to talk about how much of a prophet you are, you probably aren't one. If you have to talk about how prophetic you are constantly, you probably are not. The same way, I've never made anybody call me pastor. People just call me pastor because it's evident, because it's what I do. You just do what you do and let people put whatever the label they want to put on you. They want to call you pastor, great. I have people in my church that call me pastor. I have people in my church call me PJ. I have people that call me by my first name, and I respond to all of them. Amen. But don't make life-altering decisions based upon one word you might receive from somebody off somewhere in left field somewhere. Let everything be confirmed by two or three witnesses. And by the way, one of those confirmations needs to be your own spirit man. Yes. And your own heart. I tell people this all the time. Never do anything that violates your own conscience. Yes. If you have four prophetic words, but something in you is just going, I don't feel like this is God. Right. Don't do anything until you get that inward witness that goes, this is God. God still wants the revelation of his will to be vocalized. He's established prophets. The prophetic ministry is a voice of revelation and illumination. It's important. But it has to be confirmed. It has to be witnessed. I found this. Oftentimes, God is more willing to speak than we are to listen. Especially today, we are so distracted with everything going on. We're distracted by work. We're distracted by extracurricular stuff that's going on. Listen, I understand the busyness of life. I meant to say this earlier. My wife and I, we have four children. We have our oldest is Josiah. He's 14. And then we have three girls after that. Hanalee, who is 11. Eliza, who is 6. And Eva, who is 3. So I understand the busyness of life. We're about to get kicked up. Girls start dance on Tuesday. I've got 3 girls in dance. So y'all pray for me. And pray for our bank account as well while you're at it. But I understand the busyness of life, right? So we have all this busyness with work, with extracurricular activities, with these things that we carry around in our pockets all the time that are always distracting us, our everything that is going on. And God oftentimes will use the prophetic. He will use speaking into our hearts and our lives to interrupt our busyness and bring our focus onto what it needs to be on, onto the important things. That's what it's about. We have to understand God has something to say. God has something to say. Now, I very quickly want to give you a few things that prophecy is not. Okay? I'm going to tell you what it does a lot of things, but I'll give you some really highlights at the end. But I want to tell you a few things today. Prophecy is not, okay? One, prophecy is not a way for all of your sin to be revealed. Some people get weirded out over the prophetic because they've seen people do this where somebody starts giving a word. It's like, and God sees what you did. That is not the prophetic. Please explain to me how that is exhortation, edification, and comfort to embarrass somebody. Listen, more often than not, all of your sin doesn't need to be revealed. You are very well acquainted with your own sin and the places that you have fallen short and the places that you fall short. You don't need a prophetic word to reveal your shortcomings to you. You're aware of those things. Are y'all with me? It is not something to reveal all of your sin. That is not the point of it. As a matter of fact, God will speak to your potential even whenever you are in the middle of sin through a prophetic word. God will call you up out of what you're doing, not just tell you the place that you are in. God will speak to your potential and who he's called you to be a lot more than who you might be right now. I think about this. Every prophetic person's favorite scripture passage is Ezekiel chapter 37. Y'all know it? Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones, right? And what's really, it really is a great passage. It is absolutely played out in so many ways because it's been used so much and everybody's done a drama about it and all this stuff. But it really is a great, powerful verse of scripture, and it is for this reason. When Ezekiel is set and God takes him in the spirit to this Valley of Dry Bones, and Ezekiel, God asks him this question, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel gives the most U.S. politician answer that you can possibly imagine. And he goes, Lord, you alone know. Right? And then God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. And Ezekiel doesn't stand and look at the bones. He goes, oh, you dirty, nasty, terrible bones who were called to be more, but you have failed. And now God is done with you, and he's going to leave you dead and dry. He begins to speak to the potential, to what it's called to be, right? That's what the prophetic does. It doesn't speak to your problem. It speaks to your potential. It doesn't speak to your brokenness. It speaks to your wholeness. It doesn't speak to your hurt. It speaks to your healing. That's what it's for. And anybody who's using it for anything else is not operating in the prophetic. Prophecy is not to tell you who the Antichrist is. That is not the point of it. We have had prophetic conferences that aren't prophetic at all. They are sensationalism, and I'm just going to say it, they're trash. For people to go sell you their latest Shemitah or Blood Moon book that none of it's going to happen, and they're never going to apologize for, and they're going to move on to the next book and make a bunch of money off that one too. They're stealing from you. Just going to be honest with you. Amen. Pastor Cole said, make sure you say that this morning. He really didn't. I'm just playing. That's not what the prophetic is. I don't know why in the world we started labeling that prophetic. Because we want sensationalism. Right? We want what's sensational. We don't want what builds us. We want what's sensationalism. Can I just be really honest? What we really want is this Gnostic idea that we know something that everybody else doesn't know. Right? We know something that not everybody else knows. And we look like fools calling that the prophetic. That is not the prophetic. Prophecy is not to tell you the winning lottery numbers. I wish it was. That'd be great. But that's not what it's for. It's not to reveal every detail about your life to somebody. I was giving somebody a word one time. I said, hey, what's your name? It's my dad giving somebody a word. He said, hey, what's your name? He goes, I don't know. You tell me. They said, well, God didn't reveal that to me, but I got a word for you. And he just kept prophesying to him. That's not what it's for. It's not to reveal. It's not a parlor trick. It's not for addresses to be called out. And you go, oh. It's a parlor trick. That's all that is. Right? Psychics do that. People who aren't saved do that stuff. That's not the prophetic. Exhortation. Edification, comfort, to speak to your potential. Whenever you're in the middle of a storm, for the voice of the Lord to come in and give you direction, that's what the prophetic is. That when you're broken and you feel like you have no hope, for him to come in and somebody to come along your way that doesn't know anything about what's going on in your life, just be like, hey, I just felt like God wanted me to tell you everything's going to be okay. And that is a lot more rocking than, God told me your address. Cool, that's great. How does that help me in my life and in my marriage? Y'all with me? How does that help me overcome what I'm facing at my job? I'm gonna give you one more. This is a big one. This is the one that has been used so much over the last several years. And I'm out of town, so I can be a little more forceful. And that is this. Prophecy is not to be wielded as a political weapon or to reveal election winners. Amen. By the way, everybody who said they had the election, let me back up. The majority of the people that said they had the election winner last time were all wrong. And they never apologized for it. And that's not an endorsement of any political candidate. It's just a fact. And you can't say he won in heaven. It's not the way it works. Y'all think I'm playing. I'm telling the truth, Pastor Cole, aren't I? People are like, well, the election in heaven. Who voted in heaven? That's what I want to know. You can't do that. You can't do that. That's not what it's for. It's not to be wielded as a political weapon for you to prophesy against the people you don't like. And by the way, nitpick them. And then prophesy for the people that you do like. And ignore and gloss over all their flaws. That's not what it is about. The prophetic is never to be wielded as a political weapon. It's not what it's for. Let's not even mention, I don't want to get down too far down this rabbit hole, but the absolute theological implications of saying a prophetic voice can prophesy who's going to win the election is problematic, and we'll just move on. Let he who has ears to hear that. That's not what it's for. So what is it? In the most broad sense, prophecy is God communicating with mankind. Paul tells us it's for exhortation, edification, and comfort. If it doesn't fulfill those, it isn't the gift of prophecy, period. I don't care what so-and-so told you in their book. When a true prophetic word is released, it's God speaking through an individual, revealing a word to them, to a group of people, to a person individually. The prophetic message is normally given verbally, can be written down, can be text. Pastor Cole's texted me a couple times since he's felt God spoke to him for us, for our church, and it's always been awesome and spot on and exactly what we needed to hear. And this is the other thing that's cool about the prophetic is, as believers, what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 is we can all prophesy. It doesn't require a special gifting, a special anointing, a special calling. I think because we have so misunderstood that word, prophesy, prophetic, and we have made it some sort of office, some sort of like this thing that's like you have to wear a mantle and carry around a shofar in order to do it. Right? And that's not what it is. It is simply communicating what God is speaking. 1 Corinthians 14, 31 says this, "For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged." Paul, talking to the church at Corinth, says you can all prophesy. He doesn't say there's five people in your church that have special prophetic giftings and those people can hear from God and everybody else is wandering around in the dark. He says you can all prophesy one by one. You can all hear from God so that everybody there can be encouraged. And then he says this in verse 32, "And the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet." That means this: just because you get something doesn't mean you have to give it. Just because God tells you something doesn't mean that's for you to tell everybody. The amount of times God's told me things and I know that I'm not supposed to tell anybody, it's just for me, far outnumbers the times God's told me something and I've said it. The number of times God has spoken to me about me is a lot more than he's spoken through me for somebody else. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. For God is not a God of disorder, is what it says, but of what? Peace. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. It's really interesting that he goes, you can all prophesy one by one. And then literally the next verse, God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And I think we need to hear that more than ever, because we think that if we operate in the prophetic, that what that means is it's just going to be absolute chaos. And the reason we think that is because that's what we have largely exhibited over the last 10 or 15, 20 years. Is everybody who has a prophetic gifting or a prophetic church or a prophetic move that you're involved in, it's just chaos. It's people running up in the middle of service and grabbing a microphone and giving a word. That's not what it has to be. I've been to church before. They just have a microphone up on the stage. It's the prophetic mic, and it just means anybody can go grab it and give a word. No. Absolutely not. God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. At our church, at home, we have anywhere from 600 to 700 people in weekly attendance between our couple of services. And there is prophetic exhortation. There's prophetic ministry that goes on every single week, pretty much every single service. The majority of it comes from me or a couple other people that I know and that I trust in a service, because just because God can speak to everybody doesn't mean everybody needs to speak for God in a service. Are y'all with me? But you can prophesy. You may prophesy. You all may prophesy is what Paul said. God is not, through Paul, giving us some sort of unattainable goal. You can hear from God. And it doesn't have to be weird. And by the way, it's probably not going to be, smoke is not going to fill the room. Unless it's the haze machine. Right? An angel's not going to descend from heaven and unfurl a scroll before you. Right? It is highly unlikely there's going to be an audible booming voice that comes in the room. You know what's going to happen? God's going to speak to your spirit man in a still small voice. We see this with Elijah. The fire comes. God wasn't in the fire. The wind comes and God wasn't in the wind. And then there's a still small voice. There's an inward witness. There's a voice. Which, by the way, let me go back for a moment on things that the prophetic is not. Hurricanes are not prophetic. Tornadoes are not prophetic. Floods are not prophetic. Earthquakes are not prophetic. Some of y'all look at me like y'all haven't been in some of the circles I've been in, right? Depending on where the hurricane hits, it's either a sign of God's refreshing or of his absolute judgment and how much he hates the place. Which, by the way, our area went through. We were actually living in Orlando when it went through, but our hometown, which we're now back in and pastoring, went through a Category 5 hurricane in 2018 that absolutely devastated our area. It's still recovering and building back from it 5 years later. And there were some prophets who all of a sudden had a word about what it meant. And I said, you know what it means? It means there are weather patterns in a fallen world. And we live in Florida. I literally, my dad told me he knew somebody that, are we good, Cole, on time? He knew somebody that had a word this year that said, God just spoke to me, there's going to be a hurricane in the Gulf this year. And I said, you're really going out on a limb there. There's going to be a hurricane in the Gulf. That never happens, ever. And they got on Facebook. See, I predicted this 4 months ago. I said, so did everybody else. The NHC, the National Hurricane Center, predicted this. I guess they're prophets now too. When something obvious happens, you don't get to go, see, God told me. It's like saying the sun is going to rise tomorrow. Congratulations. Right? These are weather patterns that happen. They're not God speaking. We get so caught up in the sensational of it all that we miss the still small voice that wants to speak in your heart. A lot of times the voice of the Lord is what we have traditionally called our conscience. And that's really the voice of God speaking into your heart. That he's saying something to you, that he's revealing something to you. You can hear from God and you can release a word he wants to say over someone else's life. And it will bless them. It will exhort them. It will comfort them. James 5:17, I'm going to close pretty soon. James 5:17 says this, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. How many believe that God spoke to Elijah? How many believe God spoke through Elijah? And Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And by the way, Elijah had problems. That's all another message. But if God could speak through Elijah, then he can speak through you. Also say this, what God always, we see this just throughout Scripture, what God does in the singular, in the Old Covenant, he does in the plural now. So there was a prophet and a person who could hear the voice of God under the law. Now, all believers can hear the voice of God. And honestly, I don't want to get into this. I believe unbelievers can hear the voice of God as well. And he will speak to their hearts as well. Y'all with me? If God spoke to a man with a nature like ours, he can speak to you. Now, I want to run very quickly, and I've already touched on some of these, but I may elaborate a little bit. I may make these a little bit shorter, but give me 2 minutes. I'm going to tell you about some things the prophetic does for your life. First of all, it confirms. The prophetic will come to confirm what God is saying in your life. Sometimes before events happen, God speaks to your heart and you know what's coming. And then whenever it happens, you go, thank you, Lord. Because whenever this happened, it didn't throw me off. I knew this was already on the horizon. Sometimes he will speak to you during decision making. I was in PC already, but about a year and a half ago, over a year and a half ago now, my wife and I, I don't want to give you the whole story, but we knew that our season, we were on a trip with your founding pastor, Pastor Casey Doss. We were on vacation with them. And we're on a trip, and I'm going to end up on a phone call with my dad, and he's like, I feel like there's a shifting God is doing, and he's shifting me and what I'm doing, and I need somebody to come pastor the church. And this was not on our radar at all. Like, not at all. As a matter of fact, earlier in the day, I had lunch with Casey and Lindsay, and Casey actually mentioned to me, he goes, you think you're going to go back to PC one day? I said, it's not on our radar even a little bit. And by that night, I'm having a phone conversation. And in the middle of that phone conversation, I just felt the voice of the Lord go, this is it. And it's not what I wanted to hear, just to be honest with you. Because every time God speaks to you, it's not always something you want to hear, but it is confirming of what he's doing. One of the other things it does is it comes to foretell. We think prophecy comes to foretell, but more than foretell, it comes to forthtell. To give you a word to push you into something. Not to just tell you what's going to happen in the future, but to push you into who you are called to be. To identify things in your life and call those things out. To release giftings and anointings and callings and push you into those things. A lot more than it is to just tell you who's going to win the football game tonight. By the way, the answer is Florida State's going to win tonight. In Jesus' name. Y'all, that's not, I'm playing. I'm believing they're going to win. That's not an actual word. And then the last one I want to tell you, and I believe this is one of the biggest ones, and then I'm going to be done, is this. The prophetic comes to give you a weapon. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, this I charge and commit to you, O son Timothy, according to prophecies that were given over your life, that you may wage the good warfare with them. God will forearm you with a prophetic word because of something you're going to face, and he knows you're going to need something to hold on to in the middle of the battle. He's going to know you need a weapon to fight with in the middle of the fight. Think about this. I'm going to give you a biblical example. I'm going to give you a personal example. David was anointed king before he ever fought Goliath, right? He had received essentially, when he got that oil poured on his head, he essentially received a prophetic word, David, you are going to be the king of Israel. And then he goes and he fights a killing machine. Why could David be so strong? Why could he be so sure in the face of something that seemed completely out of his league? Because he had a word that he hadn't seen yet. Therefore, he knew God is faithful to his promise, and this giant can't take me out because I've still got things that I've got to fulfill. I still have promises I have to walk in, and it can't end here. My wife and I, when she was pregnant with our son, I may have told y'all a little bit of this story last time I was here. She was pregnant with our son, and she was probably about 32 weeks pregnant, and we got this word from somebody. They laid hands on us. They gave us a prophetic word. And they told both of us, they said, I just see that when this baby comes, that your faith is going to go to new levels. And we all shout about that. Like, you're going to have a baby and all of a sudden faith is just going to come on you. You know how faith is normally built? Through going through battles you've never had to fight before. And to make a really, really long story short, 2 weeks later, we were in a fight for his life whenever he was born 6 weeks early. Born 6 weeks early with the cord wrapped around his neck, a full knot in his cord, and the doctors literally using the term still with us whenever he was born. And in that moment, if I wouldn't have had a word to fight with, it would have made that a whole lot more difficult. But I remember being in that room in what felt like an eternity that was probably all of 45 seconds. No, it was at least 2 minutes. At least 2 minutes long from the calls the doctors and nurses were making. And I remember being in that room and looking over my shoulder, and first image I have of my firstborn son, our oldest child, is him being gray on a table, not crying, not breathing, not alive at all, them doing chest compressions on him. And I, first of all, in that moment, you find out, do you really believe what you say you believe? And I remember that word coming to me. When this baby comes, your faith is going to go to new levels. And I knew in that moment, for that to happen, this couldn't be the outcome. This couldn't be the outcome. God already knew what we were going to have to go through. So you know what he did? In his absolute incredible goodness, he gave me a word before. Because he knew I couldn't fight just in my own strength. He knew I needed something to hold on to. We needed something to fight with in that moment. And we grabbed that word. And to make a long story short, he began to cry. They told us, you have a sick baby. He'll be very sick. He's going to be sick a long time. When this baby comes, your faith is going to go to new levels. We had a word to fight with through NICU. They told us when they discharged us from NICU, his whole life he's going to be small. He's always going to be undersized. He'll always be the smallest kid in the room. He's probably going to struggle with learning. He's probably going to struggle with issues. He's probably going to go through all this stuff all the days of his life because he went for such a long period without oxygen and he was born really small. Well, when this baby comes, your faith is going to go to new levels. We have this weapon. Today, he's 14 years old. He's as tall as I am. He wears a size 13 shoe. He's built like a linebacker, for God's sake. Strong as an ox. Smart as can be. Right? Whenever everything else tells you something different, you have a word to fight with. The prophetic doesn't have to be some weird, spooky, Twilight Zone-y, flaky thing. And by the way, when we got that word, I didn't even know what it meant. Because most of the time when you get a word, you're not going to know what it means. You're just going to go, amen. But then later down the line, something's going to happen. You're going to go, this is what it was for. This is what God was saying. This is what he was speaking. Sometimes it's immediate. But more often than not, it's not. And don't even try to figure out what it means, because you're just going to figure out when you figure it out. If you try to figure it out, you're going to appropriate it for something you shouldn't. Just let it be. Just let it go. Just let God speak. I believe this church is a prophetic house. You have prophetic leaders. Let me say this. Just because some people have abused truth doesn't mean we refuse truth. Just because some people have abused hearing from God, they've abused the prophetic, they've abused prophetic ministry, doesn't mean that we refuse it. As a matter of fact, let me put it this way. Because people have swung the pendulum one way and they've taken it to an extreme, the solution for that is not to swing it back to the other extreme and go, we're not doing any of that. The solution is do it right. The solution is do it in balance, because there's safety in the prophetic. There's safety in hearing the voice of God. And I believe this church, this place, is called to be a place that hears the voice of God and moves in that. Amen. Will you stand up to your feet?
Can you guys give it up for Pastor Josh and Miranda one time? It's incredible. Just want you to stretch your hands to Jesus all over the room. Father, we just receive this word as a body. We receive this word as a church. Lord, everything that you have for us, we say yes to. Everything that you have for us, we say yes to. We say yes. Take us where you want to take us. Stretch us in the way that you want us to be stretched. Grow us in the way that you want us to grow. Do whatever you want to do in Resting Place Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.